Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is episode 9, after episode 7-8. Well, this week we're talking about graphical improvement from the 8-bit days, where games like Mario, Zelda, Metal Gear have jumped up in graphical quality and become far better looking than they were when they first started out on the NES. This is your editor, Lindsay Mosley, and I'm joined by my regular weekly guest, Jamie Mosley. What's up?
Yeah, what's going on?
So, we're looking at those games like Mario and Zelda, especially, that have greatly improved in graphics. And the first one, especially on that list, is Mario. Like, you can look at Mario and see, like, Mario started out as this really ancient-looking 8-bit pixelated graphic, and now he's, like, 3D fully realized, which, I mean, I've watched the evolution of Mario, so I've seen where he's gone from, like, you know, little and barely, I mean, you can count the pixels on him, and now you can look at him, and it's very difficult to draw Mario without having, like, a 2D look to him, because otherwise, I mean, you're not going to get that 3D look to him unless you get photographs of him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I too have watched Mario gone from 2D to the nice 3D. And I have to say it's been nice improvement, I will say. Gave a nice plumpness to the plumber.
Yeah, I liked how you could look at the graphical difference between Mario 1 and 2, and it was like, wow, that's a huge jump. Even, and I'm talking about just like Mario 2 USA. But like, you can look at the jump between 2 and 3, and it's even bigger. Like, he's much better looking than 3. And then look at the difference between Mario 3 and Super Mario World. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I will say they've definitely improved on the graphics as they kept going on. I think what happened as they kept putting out more and more Mario games, they decided let's keep pushing the system out farther and see how far we can do by the time of the Super Nintendo. And then they've already mastered how to push the system to the limit.
Yeah,
and
they're usually the innovators.
So I would definitely have to say that if it wasn't for Mario always pushing the limit, then we wouldn't have great looking games out there.
Yeah, and speaking of Mario, let's talk about his counterpart, Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong also was like an 8-bit start, and then like, look at Donkey Kong Country. Look at the difference between Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Country. Even though it's basically handled by two different groups. Look at the difference in graphics between those two. Now, of course, it's like, you know, what, 15 years between it. But, actually, it's less than 15 years because Donkey Kong came out in 1981. Donkey Kong Country came out in 94. So, that's what, 13 years? But look at the difference in the graphics. It's ridiculous.
I have to say that one who played Donkey Kong and as an arcade machine and everything, I have to say there was a huge difference from seeing him as this King Kong type monkey. Excuse me, ape. That was taking barrels and slinging it down there to a guy who had either a hammer or he can jump over it to climb up. To the, I am now running around in my own platform. I'm jumping around. Have a sibling. Well, I'm sorry, it's not a sibling, but a son. So, I would definitely have to say that did a fast improvement on there. Donkey Kong would definitely be one. That said, that's definitely pushed the limits on the graphics on its game as it kept going up. I will also say that Legend of Zelda is one, too, that I would say that would be pushing the limits on that. I think it's been vast improvements on them.
Yeah, Zelda definitely. You look at 8-bit Link and be like, oh, it's 8-bit Link. But you turn around and look at, like, let me think. Well, even Zelda 2, the graphics were, like, greatly improved.
Dead Zelda 2 had a, it was definitely a great improvement on it. It was also in a slightly different angle. I mean, it was a side-scroller, but, I mean, some scenes were, you know, you got a bird's-eye view. But, they push the graphics. You see more detail in it. There's still some blockiness, but it was less blocky than the original game, I would definitely have to say. So, but one of the best things I did like about that, as Nintendo kept pushing the envelope and getting people to change the graphics, you know, getting the graphics to be sharper and better, was they did not decrease in gameplay. So, with Mario, Zelda, and I even have to say with Donkey Kong, the gameplay did not decrease just because they changed the graphics.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. Actually, you know, there's another series that did that too. Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden definitely. Like, if you look at 8-bit Ninja Gaiden, and then you look at, like, current gen Ninja Gaiden, it's like, wow, that's actually supposed to still be Yu Hayabusa. I mean, it's the same character. But it's like, what? He was 8-bit once. Like, he was maybe 3 pixels tall, and maybe, you know, maybe 10 pixels at most. And now it's like, what? That can't be the same character. Same thing also with Metal Gear. Metal Gear, the graphics in the original Metal Gear were like just god-awful 8-bit representations. And now you look at Metal Gear Solid 4, and it's like, wow. Look how far Snake has come in terms of how he looks. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you can go back and look at the older versions, especially of that game, you can see how much, like, Snake has changed over the years.
That's true. That's true. Snake has changed from the guy running around, jumping on a truck, and says the truck has started to move.
Has started to move.
And then it bounced twice, and then you're at, like, 20 miles from where you started at, to where it's very well detailed. Facial expressions, I mean, it's unbelievable what they did with the Metal Gear Solid series. With the Metal Gear series as a whole, I would definitely say.
Yeah, I've always been impressed by Metal Gear's graphics. Even the blocky, polygonal PlayStation 1 stuff in Metal Gear Solid. I mean, that's still, that was an achievement if you saw where he came from. It's like, yeah, he looks much better. But also another one is Castlevania.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely Castlevania has definitely been a great improvement. And granted, original Castlevania came out, it still looked good. Even to this day, I'll still play it.
Yeah.
There was nothing horrible with it. But compared to the games they got now, graphically, I mean, it's kind of hard to foresee that the Belmonts have gone thus far.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always impressed by Castlevania's graphics. Even their 8-bit form, I was impressed by it. And then it's like, wow, you look at that stuff now, and then... Like, I mean, the gameplay hasn't necessarily held up, but a good example is, like, look at 8-bit Castlevania and then look at Symphony of the Night on PlayStation 1.
You can even go further and just look at Curse of Darkness. Curse of Darkness was an awesome-looking game, too.
Which one? Where was that on? PS2?
Curse of Darkness was on a PS2 and Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just like, just look at the PS1, the difference between 8-bit and PS1, and it's like, wow. Actually, you know what's a really good, gorgeous-looking game? It's actually Super Castlevania 4. The difference between the 8-bit versions of Castlevania 1, 2, and 3, and then you look at Super Castlevania 4, and it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. And which, by the way, listeners, you can always see screens of that. If you go on our website, you can see that where we did a look at Super Castlevania 4 for Retrograde for the current quarter. And it's we have a lot of pictures where I took pictures in-game of Super Castlevania 4, and it looks gorgeous. It's absolutely a gorgeous looking game. It's one of those ones, it's greatly held up since it came out in 91. I mean, even now, like, I look at that and I can still say, oh, that holds up against, like, current gen stuff. And, I mean, there are a lot of purists out there that say that Super Nintendo games can't hold up against current gen stuff. But I'm a firm believer in beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And as somebody who appreciates 8-bit and 16-bit and even 32-bit polygonal mess sometimes, I mean, I can easily say that that game holds up even now. It's still a good-looking game. And like, even the original Mario games, I can still look at that and say, oh, wow, that holds up, definitely. Also, I'm trying to think, what's another one that really holds up really well? It's probably, an 8-bit lore. Probably, definitely Zelda. It's still good looking. Contra, actually. Super Contra. Still looks really good. Super Contra actually still looks really good. And that's been like 20 years. I'm trying to think what else.
Getting the main one. Final Fantasy has changed more times graphically than any other game.
That's true, yeah. Final Fantasy is another one where the 8-bit versions, you look at what they have now and it's like, wow, that game has gone so far from its origins to like now.
They're probably the main ones. Well, Mario always improved on the graphics, and sometimes you can tell it between games on every single game, sometimes you can't. Final Fantasy, I'll have to say that every single game seems to look better than the last. Even if they make two versions of the same one, like Final Fantasy X and, you know, X-2. I mean,
Yeah. There
was still, to me, there was still difference in the graphics of it. So, and then, you know, you have 11, which people played online, you know, and it was okay with and everything, but 12 was completely different from the rest of them, I thought. So, I mean, and now you look at the ones they're going to put out now, it's just amazing what they can do.
Yeah, I look at the difference between, like, you look down and you go from 1 to, like, 13. 13 is unbelievable looking. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, the graphic change in 12 games has been ridiculous. Like, you can't even tell it started out as an 8-bit version.
Nope, you can't tell. I will have to say that I don't think too many people noticed the difference from Final Fantasy until the game that everyone in the world must have played, Final Fantasy VII. Now, I give it props because, to me, I think Final Fantasy VII probably pushed the PlayStation 1 to its limits. I really do. But Final Fantasy 1 to 6, graphically, wasn't horrible. I mean, you see improvements through the whole thing.
But the difference between six and seven
was like decades of improvement.
Yeah.
And then if you look from 7 to 8, it got crisper. It looked much better. But no one complained about it. Everyone said, you know, it looks good. But they didn't compare it graphically to what 7 did. But in my opinion, I think that Final Fantasy 12 pushed the PlayStation 2 to its limit. Because it was a gorgeous game. It really was a gorgeous game. So, I think that we're going to put out, you know, 13 and versus 13. Those will look well. Those will look really well. But somewhere around 15 and everything, everyone's going to go, well, I should say probably 14. Because, you know, they get to 7 and then they're 14. And 14 will probably push the limits to whatever system it's going to be on.
Yeah.
So, and it'll probably be PlayStation because, you know, Sony and Square Enix is always hand-to-hand in something. But still, I look for that game, the Final Fantasy series, really to push the envelope on graphics.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I do too. I always look at the graphical difference between the games because that generally, it really depends on Final Fantasy. It serves as the benchmark for what that current system can do, what it's capable of. The Square Enix team that handles it generally sets the benchmark. They tend to make the system work. They make it work for its money. I'm trying to think what's another game that has graphically improved from the 8-bit days. I think we've covered everything just about, actually.
Mortal Kombat.
Well, I don't really count, but that's not 8-bit, though. But the difference, yes, now the graphic jump between Mortal Kombat 1, hell, actually, the graphical jump between 1 and 2 was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The difference between 2 and 3 was even better. Mm-hmm. Then, now, in my opinion, 4 took a step backward. But the difference, you could see the difference in, especially not so much in the character detail, because the characters looked so distorted and unrealistic, because they weren't using real people anymore. But yes, when you looked at the backgrounds of 4, between 3 and 4, the background detail is what jumped up. And actually, the whole thing about MK's backgrounds, they're photorealistic, because they are photorealistic. The majority of them in 1 were actual photos taken. Very, very few of them were drawn, hand-drawn things. Generally, John Vogel and John Tobias drew the graphics for this. And I know all this because I researched a lot of MK stuff. Yes, like they say on the Boondocks, because I'm an expert. But yes, I researched a lot of Mortal Kombat background and history and stuff, so I know a lot about the characters and the behind the scenes work that went on with the game, just from years of reading up and collecting magazines and keeping up with that kind of thing. But yeah, most of the backgrounds, like in 3. In MK3, I can tell you which ones were drawn and which ones were real pictures. Like, the bridge background where they're fighting on the street and it's in the daytime and you see the paper swirling around and whatever, that was photorealistic. They went downtown Chicago and took a picture of that. The MK team did. The rooftop, that was photorealistic. They actually took a real photograph of that one. And they tell you this stuff in the making of, if you get Midway Arcade Treasures 2, for MK3, and actually some part of MK2, they actually tell you this stuff. But like in 3, the part where it's one of them, I know. Oh, the pit 3 was hand drawn. There were parts of the pit 3, like the little lanterns and stuff that float in the background. John Vogel and Steve, I think his last name is pronounced Mikaitch, they all drew those. They drew that part. And they showed how they did the computer model part for the little lanterns. I remember watching that on something, and they showed how they did that. But yeah, for the most part, if you look at the graphical difference between MK2 and 3, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Then you look at 4, and 4 is kind of, it's kind of blah, and then you like look at 5, though. Now, the one thing, as much as I did not like the newer Mortal Kombat games, I have to say the graphics engine looked really good. I'll give them that. I mean, just gameplay wise, it was crap, but the graphics engine, if you look at 5 and look at 1, it's like this can't even be the same series, seriously. But I don't know, in the later Mortal Kombats, they all look plastic. They cease to look like real people. So, that's why I was just like, I don't know about MK. But, I mean, if you're going to go that route, the difference between Tekken 1 and Tekken 6 is ridiculous. That's not even the same series. Like, Tekken is another one. It's like Final Fantasy. Tekken is the benchmark. They generally push the limits of the system with Tekken, with how realistic it can look and for its time. Like, you look at all, take all of the Tekkens on PS1, then look at Tekken Tag on PS2. The difference between Tekken Tag and Tekken 3 is unbelievable. It's not even, and that's the problem. Like, it's the same, it's based off the same series. Like, 3 just is a what-if game. I mean, not 3, but Tag is a what-if game. And continues the storyline of 3, basically. It's an upgrade to 3.
But they had the PS2 to put it on, so. And what Namco already working on the PS2 before, they knew how to push it. Because they didn't necessarily push it too hard with Ridge Racer on the PS2. Yeah. But on the PlayStation 2, they could try. So they knew how far to push it. And they knew that because they also had Soul Calibur on there.
Yeah.
So, which is also another one that they pushed on, because from Soul Calibur, Soul Edge or Soul Blade, depending on which one you put. If you watch from Soul Edge to Soul Calibur, the jump between those is unbelievable. Yeah. It looks like it's a completely different series done by a completely different company.
Yeah.
I'll have to say. And then you look at the difference between Soul Calibur and Soul Calibur 2. The graphics seems to be completely different. The
graphics are unbelievable.
I mean, it looks like it was designed for a black and white TV if you're playing Soul Calibur versus, you know, the nice color big screen TV that you get in Soul Calibur 2.
Well, the thing about also I have to throw in about Soul Calibur is the graphics of Soul Calibur, the original Soul Calibur that came out on Dreamcast, still hold up after 10 years. Same thing with Tekken. The graphics still hold up. Not maybe the first Tekken. Man, not even Tekken 2. But definitely Tekken 3, the graphics still hold up 10 years more. Well, almost a little more than 10 years now. 10 years later. It's unbelievable. It's like, hell, half the stuff here look better than what's out right now. Except for Tekken 6. When you look at Tekken 6, watch videos of Tekken 6. Having been around the series since it first came out, I know it's a video game, and I know they're not using real people. They use real people to do motion capture, but not to really, like, model them or anything. But when you look at the people, you actually look at the actors and stuff doing the moves and actually fighting, the game engine actually moving and fighting, you really have to stop and think who looks real and who does not. And the majority of the people in the game look real. They actually look real, like real live people. It looks like you're watching a movie. It's that's how realistic it looks. And I even really started noticing this in Tekken 5, even in the original Tekken 5 opening cinema. When they're showing all the characters and stuff. I mean, I was picking out people who looked real and who didn't. So, I think that, yeah, definitely if you're going to go that route, Tekken is one you have to throw in the fact that you can start picking out realism in the intro.
Yeah. But not just the intro. Even sometimes during the fights, you can tell from different ones. I would say that it really looks like, because Heihachi has been around forever, and everyone who plays Tekken series know that Heihachi has been around forever. It seems to me that Heihachi has become, if he's not a real person, and there's no one out there that looks like him, which I find that hard to believe, that Heihachi should be a real person, that someone should go ahead and make that as. I mean, that's how realistic he looked. I think that Namco is definitely one of the companies. I mean, there's a lot of companies out there that pushed the envelope on graphics. But if you're going back in the day and you're checking all the games of how it was then versus now, Tekken will be one that I'll say that stands the test. Tekken and Soul Calibur. For that matter, even Ridge Racers. The Ridge Racers have changed too. Now, lately the Ridge Racers haven't been getting as good reviews as R4, but graphically they always have. They've always been updated because that's what they do. That's what Namco does all the time. Let me think. I know there's a couple of others that I play all the time. How could I forget? The Metroid series. I think that the Metroid series has changed ever since the first Metroid, which I still love. I still play it all the time. But you can see differences through the game, not necessarily from playing the NES game and then going to the Game Boy game. But I'm just saying, you can see difference between the NES and the Super NES. Because Super Metroid, it was unbelievable how much of a difference you can see when you looked at the original Metroid and you looked at the Super Metroid. And then if you you flash forward a little bit, you go to Prime. I mean, even the Prime games look good. When they redid Metroid and had Zero Mission, the graphics just kept getting better. Which, of course, Dan says that Nintendo always pushed the envelope on that. They always have. Let me think. I mean, Metroid to me, along with the nice upgrades in graphics and the music. The music's always been good. I don't think at any time did it ever suffer on gameplay. But they have always pushed the envelope. And truth be told, Kid Icarus? Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Kid Icarus does look good. I mean, I was getting ready to say that even if you look at the Nintendo 64, and that had Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers looked good compared to, you know, all the other Melee games at that time, which wasn't too many. But the difference between Smash Brothers and Smash Brothers Melee, to me, other than it's being on disc, is completely different in graphics. I mean, it was a huge jump for me. It was a little faster gameplay. I actually did enjoy that a lot better. And it smoothed out all the characters. It was more refined. You can actually see details of them. Things that you didn't know that a character would have, when you can actually see it on that one. And then you want to move from Brawl and go to Melee. And it's could have been possible that Nintendo should have made it, gave it some component cables, been a little crisper and everything like that. But you still can tell the difference visually from Melee to Brawl. Brawl seems to be a brighter game. The stages are more detailed. They are very elaborate. There's always something going on in Brawl. You can see high detail. You can almost count the whiskers on Ganondorf's beard as how much detail they put in there. My counterpart would like me to point out that if you play the 8-bit Kid Icarus, when you see Pit trying to make his way up that long shaft and dodging death and all the other Medusa head type things are coming down to kill you, and you only have your bow and arrow, that he is a huge difference from what he looked like in the 8-bit game Kid Icarus versus what he looks like in Smash Brothers Brawl. I mean, true, everyone was waiting for him to be on Smash Brothers Brawl, and they knew there would be a big difference in him. But I have to say that Nintendo completely revamped him. He looks like he's a completely different character, mainly because they really didn't have any choice but to make him look like a completely different character. But I will have to say that because they put him in there, a lot of people went out and played the original Kid Icarus, which I still say it was a great game. I never beat it. I really probably said I should have said it was probably one of the hardest games ever created. But graphically, they did some great improvement with it. Let me think of any others. Well, for that fact, we can use Ice Climbers. Ice Climbers was that interesting 8-bit game that that you can tell that on when they did Brawl, that I'm sorry, you go before Brawl, you can look at the Ice Climbers on each one of the Melee games, and you can tell the major difference they have from the 8-bit.
Yeah, definitely Ice Climbers look greatly different from the 8-bit versions to the new versions in Brawl. Everybody who was in like an 8-bit game then, back then, like look at them in Brawl and it's like, wow. Especially, definitely like Jamie said with Metroid. The detail to Samus is unbelievable, given that she started out as a very little small pixel, and then, like, the difference between Metroid and Super Metroid, and then, and even actually between Metroid and Metroid 2 Return of Samus. Because, and the reason why I say this is because, and just to reiterate, because that one was a big deal for me, like, with Metroid. If you look at the difference between Metroid and Metroid 2 Return of Samus, because they didn't have color, they couldn't use color to distinguish her suit upgrades, they had to put more detail into what her suit looked like. So, the difference between what her suit looks like in Metroid and Metroid 2 is unbelievable. Like, they gave her all kinds of detail, and they only really had, like, two color schemes to use. So, three, because they lightened and darkened her to show that she had, like, her moves on and her different suits, like when she was using missiles and stuff. But, and then you look at Metroid 2 and Super Metroid, and it's like, wow. It's the same game. Same thing with, like, Mario Kart. Actually, another one is Mario Kart, if you look at the beginning of Mario Kart and then look at it now. Now, as much as I dislike Mario Kart Wii, it the difference between Mario Kart and Mario Kart Wii, Super Mario Kart and Mario Kart Wii, is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really look like the same series. I'm used to the old school Mode 7 scaling that they, you know, push so much on Super Nintendo. And then, you know, I get Mario Kart Wii and it's more detail and got a little more oomph to it, you know. Definitely another one, Street Fighter. Even though they like to recycle the same sprites over and over and over again, the difference between Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 2 and even Street Fighter 1 is ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's wow. Like, Alpha, my whole thing with Alpha, though, and this is why I was like, Alpha is not really that big of a jump between 2. They cleaned up 2. And if you look at the difference between 2 Grandmaster Challenge Super Turbo and you look at Alpha 3, there really ain't a whole lot of difference to it. I mean, it's cleaned up and it looks better, but it's a whole lot of the same, really.
That's true. But the big difference that everyone seemed to notice was the difference from Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter Alpha series versus Street Fighter 3. Everyone could clearly see the difference between that.
Yeah, so. Now the difference between Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter 3 is different. I mean, there is a huge difference.
There's a huge difference. And in every single one of those, because Capcom's got to make 3 of everything, so every single one of them, it just kept getting better and better. And you know, you have Street Fighter 3, the new generation. Then it was Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, which didn't look that much different if you just seen it separately, but you put the two games side by side, you can tell it got a little clearer. And then Third Strike, which I don't know, I never looked at it both side by side, but I would say Third Strike, they put a little bit more detail on it. Mainly, I think they did more details than the Supers, I really believe, and the costumes, of course.
Well, they changed backgrounds.
And
they changed that's a true. Lot
they
of
did change a lot of backgrounds
from Second Impact to Third Strike.
And then you go from there and look at 4, which is look like it's all hand-drawn. And even then, it's still detailed. So, I would definitely have to say Capcom did a great job on that. Not just Capcom, but even SNK. SNK have always improved their graphics from...
Oh, SNK's graphics from unbelievable.
Samurai Showdown. The very first Samurai Showdown to anything past that. I mean, every single one of them has always been pushed.
Yeah. Samurai Showdown is gorgeous. I've always thought Samurai Showdown was one of the most beautiful fighting games I'd ever seen. Just because, I mean, the level of detail to the characters. SNK has always taken great care to have the characters, to how their characters look. And even the backgrounds, too. But definitely how their characters look. And if you look at, especially the best way to describe this, is go play the original, like, King of Fighters 94. Okay? Because I remember King of Fighters 94 came out. Go play King of Fighters 94. And then go play Capcom versus SNK and pick an SNK groove and pick a Capcom character or pick an SNK character. And look at the detail in the SNK character drawings, how they've set that up. Don't pick a Capcom groove and pick an SNK character or a Capcom character. Pick an SNK character and an SNK groove and look at how that looks. Just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Whoever does the artistry for SNK for that game, like, completely made their money. Because it was unbelievable. I was like, this can't be the same thing. Like, it can't. But it turns out that, I mean, it just the level of detail is obvious in the character designs. But yeah, I think definitely... I mean, just overall, graphics have made, like, a huge leap in how they look. Just based on the nature of how graphics engines work. Mm-hmm. From when you upgrade systems, you got more processing power. So, of course, you're going to have more to work with. And, of course, it should look better. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some games that use the 8-bit style and use it well. Like Mega Man 9. Or Bit Trip Beat or Bit Trip Void, those kind of things by like Gaijin Games. Those use the graphic engines very well, in the old 8-bit style, and it works for them. But everything else, like, I mean, I expect that if you're not gonna have that old school vibe with it, it should look like it's current gen. You know what I mean? Like, it should be trying to push the boundaries of the system. Like, don't be lazy. Because there's no excuse for laziness this day and age. Those games that utilize the 8-bit look and the retro feel, they're doing that for a reason. This not because they're being lazy. So, I mean, not everybody can be a World of Goo or Patapon or, you know, not everybody can be that. So, I mean, you know, you work with what you got and you make that work for you as a game designer. But, you know, don't be lazy. Like, don't rely on that as a crutch. Not when you can do so much now with, you know, graphics and stuff. And that's part of my problem with the Wii, is that Nintendo could do so much better with the graphics. Nintendo used to be, like, cutting edge in graphics. And it's like, it's not that they were trying not to follow the other crowd. It was more like they kind of stuck with GameCube graphics. And I was like, come on, y'all can do so much better with this. The Wii is capable of far more processing power than this and graphical power.
That is true. But Nintendo did not want their system to be over $250.
That's so true. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's the reason why they stuck with the GameCube stuff. But they made it crisper so you can tell that. Which told me the whole time they could have did that on the GameCube.
Yeah. Oh, they could have really done it on the GameCube. Sometimes I wonder about Nintendo's decisions. Like, I don't know. I love them to death, but sometimes I just wonder about them. Like, what's the point in doing some of this stuff if you're not going to do it all the way? Like, don't half-ass it and then try to pass it off to me as some kind of savings or whatever. I'll pay the extra money if it means that I'm going to get a good experience out of it, and it's going to be worth my time and money. I'll pay the extra money. You know, let me be the judge of that. Don't, like, try to choose that for me. But I don't know. I think most companies, most game companies these days recognize the fact that gamers want good graphics with their games, and they want...
and good gameplay.
Yeah, I mean, like, they want an equal balance of it. They don't want just really good gameplay, but it's, you know, god-awful, ugly-looking, you know, crap that you can't... it's just awful to look at. They also want graphics. They want good graphics to go with, but they also want to be able to sit down and play it. It's the problem that Metal Gear Solid 4 ran into. While it was critically praised, you know, some saying, you know, one of the best games ever made, there are a lot of equal number of people saying all this is basically a movie with some quick time events going on. You know, it's heavy on graphics and it looks great, don't get me wrong, it's gorgeous, but, you know, there's more cinemas in the game than there is action sections. So, I mean, that's what I said. There are a lot of people out there that were saying that, you know, they love the game, but, you know, they sure wish they could play it. So, that's why I'm more or less like, you know, don't rely so much on your graphics, but and remember your roots, too, you know, but you still got to put in that work for it.
You can get a good balance. I mean, Final Fantasy has already set up the way that there's always good balance. You can have graphics, you can have nice cinemas and everything, because everyone likes cinemas, they want a break. But they also want to see that graphics in action, so they want to play it. And I have to commend Final Fantasy. That majority of their games that have great cinemas, but if it's an extremely long cinema, that means it's an extremely long game you're going to play through. So, I'll have to say, they try to give you your money's worth.
Yeah, I do give them that. They do try to give you money's worth with it. Square is not known for, chintzing out on gameplay elements. Well, any parting thoughts on graphics you want to impart to our peeps out there?
Bionic Commando. I would have to say Bionic Commando has changed a lot from 8-bit, even Bionic Commando Rearmed, which looked great. I really did love the way it looked, Bionic Commando Rearmed looked, to the Bionic Commando that's out now, which looks good. But it's got okay reviews. But I'll have to say that it's still a game that's been out since forever, but it still looks good.
Okay. I have to commend your impassioned defense of what is apparently a very bland game. That looks really pretty but has some awkward controls that kinda mar the experience. Alright, well, folks, this has been Gaming Insurrection, talking about graphical improvements in 8-bit games to the present. We appreciate you listening. Look for our next podcast. Should be about horror games back in the day, because it's Halloween. So, keep a lookout for that, definitely. We're going to be talking about stuff like Friday the 13th. Nightmare on Elm Street, and some others, maybe possibly including Bram Stoker's Dracula, which was an awful game. All of these are really bad games. I can tell you that right now. They're all really bad games. But in the spirit of Halloween, which is my favorite time of year, we're going to be talking about horror games. So keep a listen out for that. We appreciate you listening. Come back and join us next week. Talk to you later.